You are Locked On Broncos, your daily Denver Broncos podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
You're listening to the Locked On Broncos podcast, hosted by Cody Rourke and Cameron Parker of Predominantly Orange, your daily Broncos podcast.
Broncos country, what's up? Welcome back to another episode of the Locked On Broncos podcast, your daily bite-sized podcast here at the Locked On NFL Network, where you can get daily coverage on all things orange and blue related. I'm your host, as always, Cody Rourke, NFL analyst and Broncos insider for the Locked On NFL Network. You guys can shoot me a follow on my social media feed over there on Twitter, at Cody Rourke NFL. Also, be sure to check out CodyRourkeNFL.com for weekly video content. And you're going to get me on video with the background, with the, you know, with the green screen, and we're going to be breaking the NFL down. The biggest storylines are going to be breaking down the matchups in a more video format. I know you guys love the audio format here, but I'm also going to bring you guys a new realm of video. I love it. I think video audio is a great combination, so you guys can enjoy the podcast here, and then you get CodyRourkeNFL.com. Live videos over there embedded on there. Be sure to subscribe to the channel on YouTube, Cody Rourke NFL. And let's get into today's show. Obviously, we're approaching training camp this week. I'm very excited. We are just literally 48 hours away from the Broncos reporting to the UCL Training Center in Denver for Broncos camp for the start of the 2019-2020 season. And as always, I mean, there are always some big storylines heading into the season. And thankfully this year, we're not heading into a training camp where quarterback is a question. That it's been a long time since we've really said that. And I know even though the Broncos brought in Case Keenum last year and Paxton Lynch was still on the roster, there was still some sort of kind of edge. Everybody, you know, when we were up there at training camp and I was standing next to guys like Brandon Stokely and everybody, we were watching. I mean, we were watching Chad Kelly, we were watching Paxton Lynch, and all of us were kind of just thinking and talking with each other about, you know, is it really a quarterback controversy? I mean, I hate it because it really the 104.3, the fans started that quarterback controversy stuff several years ago after Peyton Manning retired. Oh man, it happened. It really did happen. And it was rough. It was rough stuff. So thankfully this year, the Broncos don't really head into training camp with any kind of quarterback carousel. So we're going to dive into segment. Obviously, I would say portion number two. We have three segments of our camp storylines here. Friday's episode last week, we had two storylines when we're analyzing the inside backers and the offensive line. Today, we have three segments of camp storylines to break things down. Tomorrow, we're going to finalize it with everything else. Today, in segment number one, we have camp storylines featuring the wide receiver position. Some of the biggest storylines with the wide receiver position as we enter camp this week. Segment number two, at the cornerback position, Chris Harris Jr. is back, and the narrative has kind of changed a little bit. He may end up being here long-term, which is great news for Broncos fans. Shed a little bit of light on that a little bit later in segment number two. And segment number three, our final segment of tonight's show, we're going to be taking a look at the running back position. What are some of the key storylines with the tailbacks, and who are some surprise players that could sneak up, and could a surprise veteran running back possibly be on the roster bubble? All of that on today's episode of Locked On Broncos. So let's dive right into it right here at the top of the hour. Let's take a look at some of the storylines with the wide receiver position for the Denver Broncos. Now, one of the biggest things, Emmanuel Sanders coming back from injury, torn Achilles. You look at the receiving core that the Broncos have, and you know what? There are, obviously, you have the two playmakers. I think you already identified your top three guys in Cortland Sutton and Emmanuel Sanders, Deshaun Hamilton. That's the big three at the wide receiving core for the Broncos. Sanders being the most seasoned vet, and then after that, you do have the young guys behind him. So really, I'm taking a look at one of the storylines being youth for the Broncos at this position, specifically Emmanuel Sanders not putting a timetable on his ability to come back, eyeing that week one opener on Monday Night Football against the Oakland Raiders. You won't see him at all in preseason. Expect him to be, you know, I'd say fairly limited a little bit in training camp to start things off. I don't think they're going to put him through the full gamut right away. As the Broncos get closer and closer, then we could possibly see some things change depending on where he's at with the medical staff and whenever they release him for everything like it. But if you've been following him on Instagram, I mean, he looks great. He's doing route running, he's doing live throw sessions, and he is moving quickly. So for Broncos fans, there is a strong, strong sense of excitement to see what Emmanuel Sanders can do. For a guy that's towards Achilles, coming back 7 months after that, I mean, the way he looks right now, you would have never thought that he tore his Achilles last year. So great news for Emmanuel Sanders. Cortland Sutton looking ready to take the leap here, entering year two of his career. He's got a great mindset. He views himself as the number one wide receiver. I like that. I'm not thinking that's a shot at all against Emmanuel Sanders. I think Emmanuel Sanders, regardless, is your number one wide receiver because of obviously his tenure as a veteran, his impact overall. We saw the Broncos offensive production, their performance all around drop after he went down with an injury because he was this tremendous security blanket for the Broncos. There's questions. There's obviously questions all throughout there after Emmanuel Sanders, Cortland Sutton, Deshaun Hamilton. I mean, Deshaun Hamilton, for him coming in, entering year number two, not really having a full season last year to kind of showcase what he's got, but his ability as a route runner, his quickness to be possibly a weapon in the slot for Joe Flacco and Rich Scangarello on the offensive side of the ball. That is definitely intriguing on paper, but we got to take a look a little bit deeper into the receiving depth that the Broncos have right now. Now, obviously, all these guys are not going to make the roster because they're not going to keep eight or nine guys. More than likely, we'll probably see them keep five total wide receivers. We thought that was going to be crazy last year, but at the end of the day, it actually made more sense. So you have Emmanuel Sanders, you have Cortland Sutton, you have Deshaun Hamilton, but the guys here, I mean, and I can't forget Tim Patrick. I think Tim Patrick easily between out of all the receivers, I think it goes Sanders, Sutton, Patrick, and Hamilton. I think, those guys are the top four wide receivers on this Broncos roster right now. So let's take a look at some of the other guys. We got River Craycraft coming back from last season, a guy who really impressed everybody. I mean, impressed coaches all across the board in training camp last season. He was the first guy on the field, him and Deshaun Hamilton, the first two receivers on the field for training camp. I expect that trend to continue unless one of these other rookie guys want to develop that kind of trend and try to beat them out. I'm sure you're going to see a competition this week at that. But yes, River Craycraft, Hamilton, the first two guys out at training camp last year, getting work in with each other, throwing the ball back and forth, and just getting ready for practice to start. So it was a cool thing to kind of see those guys getting their routine there. They kept that routine up all season long. So behind these guys, you also have Juwan Winfrey, who the Broncos selected in the later rounds. You're bringing in Aaron Burbridge as well as another guy, Trinity Benson and Romeo Guerrier, Bug Howard, a big, big prospect, Fred Brown, and Kelvin McKnight. I want to talk about Trinity Benson and Kelvin McKnight a little bit as some of the guys that really keep an eye on, as I would say, in my opinion, possible prospects that could steal a spot. And when we talk about Trinity Benson or Kelvin McKnight as potential return options, and I can't also forget to factor in that there is another guy on this depth chart in my head that I'm thinking about at the wide receiver position. Where is he at on it? I'm not sure, but Brennan Langley being another guy that's going to be added to the mix there. So the Broncos going to camp with essentially probably almost 10 receivers. I mean, it's, let's see, 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12, okay, 12 or 13 receivers. That's a lot right now. That is a lot in terms of position. We're factoring in, obviously, the undrafted free agents. They're going to come in for camp and everything like that. But yes, that's a lot of guys. So really, the main storyline for the receiver position is, how is youth going to take over this season? How are some of the guys? Is Juwan Winfrey as a rookie going to be a guy that has a role in this Broncos offense? Where does Brennan Langley come into the whole mix of things? Can River Craycraft stay off some of these guys and possibly retain his spot that he had last year? I mean, he did provide some value in the return game. Granted, there were some times he made questionable decisions returning, very hesitant at times, would let the ball bounce, several times in the game. And not to mention, he did end the season with a fumble, and it was a crazy, crazy play by the Chargers. But when I look at this position group as a unit, I do think that youth isn't a bad thing. A lot of people want to equate youth and inexperience as two things that are detrimental to a team. Right now, there are question marks in terms of youth. We know the Broncos got key production last year from Cortland Sutton, from Deshaun Hamilton towards the end of the season, from Tim Patrick, young guys. I mean, guys that they had to rely on. I mean, after Emmanuel Sanders went down, the Broncos, we got a little bit of a look at the youth experiment. Now, granted, Case Keenum was the quarterback, but I did like what I saw from Cortland Sutton. I loved what I saw from Deshaun Hamilton when he was fully back healthy from that MCL sprain. River Craycraft had a 44-yard reception against the Chargers in the last week 17 game of the season. What do we equate to that? I mean, the Chargers did play everybody. Craycraft does have the ability to be a reliable target, but the question is, where do all these guys fit in when you factor in Trinity Benson, who's trying to make a roster spot? You factor in Kelvin McKnight, even Bug Howard as well. Guys who are trying to fight for a roster spot, and also a guy transitioning from cornerback to receiver in Brennan Langley. To me, the biggest test, the biggest storyline is, who is going to step up, and are guys like Cortland Sutton and Deshaun Hamilton going to continue to trend upwards, or are they going to stay similar? And I believe based on what we get with the talent, the IQ, Courtland Sutton, Deshaun Hamilton have very good football IQs. Tim Patrick as well. Tim Patrick, I think, is going to be the underrated weapon this year on the Broncos offensive side of the ball. I think he's going to be the guy that comes in. Everyone's going to game plan for Sanders, for Sutton. They may account for Deshaun Hamilton, but I really do believe Tim Patrick is poised for a kind of surprise year for the Broncos this year. And you heard it first here on July 15th, Monday, as we gear up for Broncos training camp. But yes, definitely some of the key storylines are the guys that are entering year number two, year number three as receivers for the Broncos, or even in their career. We know Tim Patrick came over from San Francisco, but for these guys, can they take the next step? Can they be leaders? Can they evolve into leaders? Courtland Sutton, can he be that guy? Can Emmanuel Sanders, even if he's not maybe fully ready, going full participation in training camp, we're going to see him doing drills. Are we going to see him in the 11-on-11 periods, the 7-on-7 periods? Probably not, but probably the individual drills we're going to see Emmanuel Sanders start off with first and foremost. So those are the storylines that I have my eye on when I'm watching Broncos training camp this upcoming week at the UCL Training Center in Denver. Be sure to check out denverbroncos.com for the schedule for times when the gates open and obviously when things are going to happen. And obviously on the 21st of July, don't forget, is the Alzheimer Awareness practice at UCL Training Center in Denver. So bring your purple out. Wear that. July 27th, it is the Broncos training camp practice at a Broncos stadium at Mile High. A couple days before they head off to Ohio to take on the Atlanta Falcons in week one of the NFL preseason, the Pro Football Hall of Fame game, Broncos Falcons, August 1st. But yes, definitely some intriguing storylines. And we're going to get back to a little bit more storylines coming up here in segment number two, where we analyze the cornerback position. But before we get into that, I got to tell you guys about my good friends over there at Body Armor Sports Drink. If you see me out at training camp, more than likely I will have a Body Armor Sports Drink in my hand, probably the Tropical Punch, because that's the thing that's keeping me hydrated right now with potassium-based electrolytes rather than sodium-based, which you see in Gatorade and all those other products. And the best part about it all, it is amazing. It tastes great. The flavors are great. Coconut water helps keep me hydrated, helps keep me on the go, especially when the temperature is about to be 100 degrees at Broncos camp next week. Trust me. Go to your local King Supers today and look for the Body Armor Sports Drink in the beverage section. And also, you can check out the Body Armor Sports Cap Sport Water, which helps keep you hydrated as well. Just as effective, and you're going to see me with a lot of that at Broncos camp to stay hydrated. Our good friends over there, Body Armor Sports Drink, check them out today. We just dived into the receiver position. Now we got to look at the opposite side of what goes into that whole entire battle. Receivers always go up against cornerbacks or safeties, but for us, we're going to take a look at the cornerback position for the Broncos as they enter training camp in 2019. Now, one of the things that I was looking at last season with the Broncos, especially at corner, they didn't have a lot of depth there. I mean, Tremaine Brock, the first practice, I mean, he sat out with an injury. I mean, he wasn't there. He wasn't practicing, but the Broncos this year, they have more guys at the cornerback position that are going to get in and get reps. So I don't imagine the Broncos running into any kind of snafus. I don't imagine them giving them any Veterans Day off probably for the first couple of weeks. I just don't see that happening. So for us, what are some of the storylines when it comes to the corner position and the Broncos in 2019 for training camp? Now, obviously, we know Chris Harris Jr. back this year. Now, recently, there's been some traction. Chris Harris Jr. has come out and he stated that he hopes Denver re-signs him. So for the Broncos, this is going to be an interesting kind of offseason as we go into training camp, as we go into the regular season. Are the Broncos going to pay Chris Harris Jr. if he balls out? I mean, I think regardless, Chris Harris Jr. deserves a contract extension for everything he's already done with the Broncos. And I don't think there's going to be anybody in Broncos country that disagrees with me. And if you do, I certainly welcome that. Please feel free to tweet me, at Cody Rourke NFL. Would love to discuss why. I get it. I get everyone wants to go younger, but we've seen over times going young all the time, especially on defense, ain't always a good idea. And I was watching, and forgive me for this, guys, but I had rewatched the Mile High Miracle game, the Ravens and the Broncos. And in that game, just watching Chris Harris Jr. as a rookie go up against guys like Anquan Boldin, go up against Torrey Smith, Jacoby Jones, I go back to that and I see why he was so special. I mean, him and Champ Bailey were very phenomenal, and Chris Harris Jr. was only just a shell of what we see now, and he was very talented as a rookie, but coming into this season, he's also, the stakes are much higher for him as he's trying to secure a long-term contract to retire as a Denver Bronco. He's back at camp. There's no holdout. That's the great thing. He's got his money. We didn't have to worry about that. I mean, I know for a little bit everybody was worried about that, but the situation sorted itself out. So you're coming in with Chris Harris Jr. The storyline, though, for me, I got a couple here that I want to take a look at. What is Kareem Jackson's role with this Broncos defense? Now, I do believe in Mike Kliss, I think, of Nine News, I think he did a great job kind of pinpointing in an article that Kareem Jackson, his role may very well change, and I get it. Mike Kliss probably, he does talk to John Elway. So he's probably got a little bit of an insight on some of the boardroom plans a little bit, but here is my spin on it. When we take a look at Kareem Jackson, we know he is versatile enough to play safety. We know he's versatile enough to play corner. Exactly how are they going to utilize him in a Coach Fangio, Ed Donatell-style defense? And I look at the amount of options the Broncos have. They do have tremendous safeties in Will Parks, Justin Simmons, young guys. Not to mention you got Demonte Thomas, who did impress a little bit last season. Jamal Carter coming back from an injury. Trey Marshall, a very, very talented young guy, but those are the safeties there. So ideally, we see Kareem Jackson. He's going to be that hybrid guy where he will play some safety. He's also going to play the outside. He's going to play a little in the slot sometimes. He's going to play safety according to Coach Fangio. He's going to do a little bit of everything. So are we going to see Kareem Jackson utilized as a different matchup type guy? And at camp, I'm going to be looking forward to seeing if he splits his time between the corners and obviously safeties during individual period. That's going to be something I'm interested in kind of keeping my eye on. But Kareem Jackson, definitely an intriguing offseason addition for the Broncos. Can he replicate the type of intensity, aggressiveness as a corner that he had last season? That is the hope in a Coach Fangio defense where we're going to see a lot of zone coverage predominantly. So how are they going to mix and match and disguise what Kareem Jackson does? I will be very intrigued to see that. And we're probably going to see a little bit of that kind of chess game week one when the Broncos go to Oakland to take on the Raiders on a doubleheader, a Monday Night Football season opener. Always a tough one to open it on the road against an AFC West divisional opponent. First time the Broncos have opened up on the road in a long time. But you know what? It's got to happen at some point, and it's a good test for this Broncos team who is undergoing a tremendous culture shock. Now, storyline number two, where is Isaac Yiadom's role kind of expand in year number two for him? Now, we talked about this a little bit last week. I was asked by somebody in terms of how I envision the fourth cornerback spot kind of playing out between Devontae Bosby and Isaac Yiadom. And my opinion, based on watching what I saw last year in training camp and what I saw on film, the thing about him compared to Bosby was that he's got more NFL reps right now. Bosby was in the AAF at one point, so we saw what happened with the AAF. It completely crumbled, but in the AAF, Bosby actually did really well. But here's my thing. We didn't see very good quarterback play in the AAF. It was very, very subpar. I probably could have done better. I probably could have gone 10 for 12 with, five picks. I probably could have done that. I mean, definitely a lot better than what we saw in the on-field product there in terms of the quarterback position in that league. But yes, he did make plays, and that's definitely something why he's probably got a role and a little bit of familiarity with Coach Fangio and his defense. So, he's going to be a guy to keep an eye on. He's making plays in minicamp, but so is Isaac Yiadom. Yiadom is going to be taking that next step this season, and he's very determined. Offseason shoulder injury that he had operated on, he's ready to go. I mean, he's fully cleared. He's going to be ready for training camp. And the cool thing I'm looking forward to seeing with him is how he fits in and how he competes. We know he's a technician. One of the things with Yiadom is he's learning a little bit more to play a little bit off-ball coverage here. He's been learning that from Ed Donatell, working on getting his hips open, staying square in his back pedal, something that he attested to learning a little bit, and he's learning a lot from Ed Donatell. So hopefully that can elevate his game quite a bit. I know Donatell's had a lot of success in his career coaching up defensive backs, transforming them into being very dominant units alongside Coach Fangio so they can be able to take the ball away. There was a lot of times last year the Broncos just couldn't get takeaways, and I really believe the dynamic ability of Coach Fangio to dial up pressure and obviously get guys in the right positions. I think the Broncos are going to have more turnovers, more takeaways. I won't say they have more turnovers. That means they turn the ball over offensively. I think they're going to have more takeaways defensively this upcoming season than did last year. And if that's the case, that's very, very good. So behind Isaac Yiadom, behind Devontae Bosby, we also take a look at other corners, and we're going to take a look at Trey Johnson, Elijah Holder, an undrafted guy they picked up from Stanford, a guy that they think can fit a mold. And I think that Coach Fangio is definitely going to try to mold him into a little bit of a project. He's going to play in 2019. Maybe not. He might be a practice squad guy in 2019, but he's coming in. He's trying to play. We also talk about Horace Richardson coming over as well and Lyndon Stevens as guys for cornerback depth. So really, I would say outside of position one, two, and three on the cornerback position, I believe that the battle for the fourth spot on the cornerbacks kind of side of things for the Broncos, I think, is going to be an intriguing battle. You're going to have guys like Isaac Adam, Devontae Bosby, Horace Richardson, Trey Johnson, Elijah Holder, Lyndon Stevens. All of these guys are going to try to come in and compete for that cornerback spot, that fourth spot, to try to make a role. And if they can't get that role on the depth chart defensively, some of these guys' best opportunities to make an NFL roster, the special team side of the ball. Tom McMahon loves those types of guys. Go back last year, look at guys like Shamarco Thomas and Demonte Thomas. Those guys got on the field defensively at times because of the plays that they were making on special teams. So ball out on special teams, you were going to get an opportunity to play on the defensive side of the ball. And you were always one injury away, one guy away from going down to going out there and being on the field. So for these guys, I'm going to be really intrigued to see how they all step up. And I didn't even mention, too, Bryce Callahan. I mean, we talk about Chris Harris, Bryce Callahan, Kareem Jackson. Those are the top three guys. Bryce Callahan is going to do a lot in the nickel. He's going to go in the slot. He's going to go outside. He's going to do a lot of things. They want these cornerbacks. They want these defensive backs to be able to move everywhere, to do a little bit of everything. And it's now no surprise to me. So I'm really looking forward to seeing how the offseason additions of Kareem Jackson and of Bryce Callahan do for the Denver Broncos in 2019 as we get a little bit deeper into training camp. And we're almost approaching our final segment of tonight's show. Coming up in just a moment, we're going to take a look at the running back position and what storylines we need to keep our eyes on, because there are several intriguing options that the Broncos have at that position outside of Royce Freeman and Phillip Lindsay. But before we get into that, I got to remind you guys, as you get into your car, you head to work every morning, you can use your phone, whether you have an Apple phone or a Google phone. You can tell your smart assistant to play podcast Locked On Broncos, and it'll pull it up right away and it'll play the latest episode from your smart device. So tell your smart assistant today, play podcast Locked On Broncos. All right, diving into our final segment of tonight's show, Broncos Country. As always, you guys are amazing. Thank you guys for tuning in. Appreciate you guys. We got storylines here for the running back position at training camp. Now, really, I'd say it's a stark difference from last year to this year in terms of looking forward to seeing what we have at running back. Last year, you had a variety of different options. Devontae Booker being the primary favorite. The Broncos picking up Phillip Lindsay as an undrafted free agent, obviously drafting Royce Freeman from Oregon. You know, there was an expectation it was going to be between Booker and Freeman, who was wearing number 36 at the time, and this guy who wore number 2 in training camp came out of nowhere, Phillip Lindsay. So there are some kind of, there's a little bit of smoke outside of that position here. Now, the question that I have storyline-wise, okay, Broncos Country's been debating about this on the Facebook groups, on Twitter, on Reddit, every single outlet, and I think it's okay to debate it, but let's kind of think from a logical standpoint. Now, as a coach, I look at the build of Royce Freeman, and I look at the build of Phillip Lindsay. I mean, Phillip Lindsay looks bulkier. He looks tremendously bulkier right now than he did last year. That's good news for the Broncos. But also, I take a look at Royce Freeman, and I do believe that the best formula right now on paper, and this is just on paper, until we go out there and we see what happens on the field, until we identify really what Rich Scangarello's offensive scheme will tremendously look like for this Broncos team, we're going to get a clear-cut definition, obviously, week one. We're not going to get too much in the early parts of the preseason. We're going to see bits and pieces, but not the full thing unveiled, because it gives teams that you're preparing for a lot of tape to kind of scout you out beforehand. So you don't want to give your opponents any kind of advantage there. But running back wise, I think for the Broncos, the best bet right now, and people are saying there's going to be a competition. There could be, but as of right now, I don't see that being the case. I do see that Royce Freeman will probably be the primary back to start off in camp. And they may actually just split things up, because that's exactly what they did last year. They didn't even label guys as one or two. They gave everybody reps with the first team. And then they switched and rotated them out every other series. Guys that were working with the ones will go with the twos, go with the threes. And it wasn't indicative on how they were performing. They wanted to see what every single running back had to offer. And I asked Vance Joseph a question last year at training camp. How are the guys looking in pass protection? And one of the guys that stood out to him was Phillip Lindsay. Phillip Lindsay, an underrated guy, undersized guy, according to NFL scouts and people all across the nation. He is a guy that stepped up big time, and he's proven on the game tape that he can block and step up and be an asset in pass pro, and he can also be a receiving threat. So look for Royce Freeman, in my opinion, to probably start the season, be the primary back to start things off, to get the first couple of carries. Phillip Lindsay coming on third down, or Phillip Lindsay coming on a refresh series after you pick up a first. He's going to be a guy that, in my opinion, I think Phillip Lindsay is going to get more snaps on the field, but I think Royce Freeman is going to get a majority of the carries for the Broncos. And the reason is, I think, wear and tear. Now, Royce Freeman, the power back, Phillip Lindsay, the blazing speed guy, you got your smash, you got your dash, and there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, it's not an indictment on Phillip Lindsay or what the Broncos think of him if they do not start him. You got to think longevity, you got to think durability. Phillip Lindsay, Is his body size enough for him to carry 25 carries a game? I don't believe so. I don't believe you want to get a guy in that kind of format. I believe that if you have three running backs that you really like, the by committee approach, each guy has a special thing that they can offer. And Royce Freeman, the power guy, the guy that is perfect for a zone scheme, the guy who can run inside zone, he can run outside zone, stretch, counter. Philip Lindsay is the guy you want to run toss with. He's the guy you want to dash that kind of split three gap. If they're in a double threes, you want to be able to hit it up A gap or B gap and kind of kick the guy out and maybe make the safety miss. That's what Philip Lindsay has to offer. We know the value of these two guys. Now, behind them, here's the question. What are we going to see from Devontae Booker, who could be possibly entering the last year of his time with Denver? I mean, this could be it. He could be one of the guys that could be a surprise cut by the Broncos when they have to make those cuts throughout the preseason. Sometimes they make cuts early on in training camp. Devontae Booker could be a guy that's on the bubble, but he could also be a guy that he also proved last year. He could step up when, you know, Philip Lindsay went down. He was a guy that stepped up and was a reliable receiving target. He's had a little bit of an up and down career in Denver. He's had his hits. He's had his misses. There's been things that he's done well. There's obviously some struggles he's had, but that's every single player in the league. I think the thing that I'm looking at in this position here, the storylines behind Devontae Booker, I mean, we have Khalfani Muhammad, who, you know, we know he ran the 40-yard pay-per-view kind of format, that little tournament that Marquise Goodwin had won. And, I feel bad for anybody that paid $40 to watch that, but Khalfani Muhammad lost to him. And he's a fast dude. He's a really, really fast dude, and he could be that type of guy that could be like Philip Lindsay again. He could be a return threat because of how speed and quick he is, but you can also factor in Devontae Jackson as well. And these guys aren't big, big running backs. Some of them are big and bulky. Some of them, obviously, I think Khalfani Muhammad, a guy that's very fast and versatile. Devontae Jackson, also a smaller guy. Where does it all come into play, though? Where are these guys at? I believe there is going to be a competition for the running back position. They're going to probably keep three running backs on roster. You can't have, I don't think, anything less than three. So I think that Devontae Booker, you know, I think guys like Khalfani Muhammad and Devontae Jackson, I think they're going to try to make a run at him to try to possibly win that third running back job. Is anybody going to get ahead of Royce Freeman, Philip Lindsay? I highly, highly doubt it. So for me, the storylines when it pertains to the running back position have to do with not diversity, but how they divide carries up, obviously reps, snaps, everything like that, how they divide that up and split it between those guys. You know, I think a lot of it depends on situation. I was watching the Mile High Miracle game, which I hate calling it that because it's not a miracle for everybody in Broncos country. It is for the Ravens people, though. It's a miracle for them. One thing I noticed, too, they had no Sean Moreno, you had Ronnie Hillman, and you had Jacob Hester. Three running backs that had different things that they could offer ultimately to the Broncos offense. Now, in my opinion, I think that no Sean Moreno should have gotten a carry on third and one in the fourth late towards the end. They decided to give it to Jacob Hester. He couldn't get it. I don't know if that was just the Ravens defense making a play, but you know, you catch my drift there. The Broncos, in my opinion right now, I think have a very, very talented stable of running backs. And Curtis Modkins has done a phenomenal job as a coach with that position group. Philip Lindsay, we know what he can do. Royce Freeman, we know what he can do. Can he keep that ankle healthy? Can he avoid spraining it? If he can, you know, those two are very, very lethal in the NFL. So Devontae Booker and Devontae Jackson, Khalfani Muhammad, I think there's going to be a competition. The storyline there is who's going to emerge for the number three running back position on the Broncos depth chart for the 2019 season. I'm eager to hear your thoughts, Broncos country. Let me know on Twitter, @CodyRorkNFL, what you thought of today's episode of the show. And also, as we get a little bit closer to the season, we're going to be doing more breakdowns, more film. After the games happen, we're going to be breaking down the film exclusively in audio format. We can't do it in video format because it violates the NFL rules, and it's a very, very costly penalty to pay that. I believe it's $100,000 to be able to obtain the license to use film. I know there's a lot of people that use cut-ups and post it on Twitter, but I do not want to get my Twitter account shut down. So we are going to do audio breakdowns, and I promise you guys I will take screenshots, and we will annotate, telestrate, and mark up all of those formations and plays for all of you, because I think it's really awesome to kind of see a different angle of the game. And I believe that Lockdown Broncos is the only podcast that can really bring you that player and that coach's perspective. And that's one thing I really pride this podcast on being, is something that gives you guys a different look on what everybody else has given you. I don't think everybody's given you exactly the film breakdowns, the terminology, and everything like that. So that's one thing that I hope to continue to provide to all the listeners in Broncos country. And once again, I want to remind you guys, you can listen to the show on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, or the Himalaya Podcast app, TuneIn, and PodCoin. I guess you can get a lot of coins for just listening, liking, commenting on episodes on the PodCoin app today. Give it a try. A listener of Lockdown Broncos said that he listens to the show every single day on there. And so obviously you can earn some coins and use it. I think there's some incentives. You can use it to buy things or receive things. A really cool thing, but you can listen to your favorite Lockdown Broncos podcast and you also get to earn stuff as well. So listen to your podcast and also subscribe on Apple Podcasts. If you guys can leave a review on Apple Podcasts, I'd appreciate it. I'm not going to go out there and ask you guys every single show to, hey, leave a review on the show. I believe you guys love the show. You guys leave a review, and we've already gotten a ton of reviews. And Broncos country, I appreciate every single one of you guys. But what means the world to me is if anytime there's an episode of Lockdown Broncos that obviously I post that on social media at Career NFL, at Lockdown Broncos, and on Facebook. But if you yourself shared an episode with your friends, your family, and the people that you know that are Broncos fans, we will get this thing even bigger. I appreciate you guys every single day for listening to a daily Lockdown Broncos podcast. And we will be back tomorrow as we continue our position storyline viewpoints. I'd like to take a look primarily at the tight end position. And I'd also like to take a look at the quarterback position and kind of offer maybe what each quarterback can bring to the table for the Broncos. And then we're going to take a look at outside linebacker behind Von Miller, behind Bradley Chubb. What can we expect from these other players? Broncos country, thank you guys once again for tuning in to another episode of Locked On Broncos.